Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today I have with me Lucia Peters. Now, Lucia empowers business owners to grow confidence in sharing their message and growing their business profile using social media. Facebook is the platform of choice that they teach and show how systems can make a difference between hustle and happiness.
Yeah.
For the past 25 years, Lucia has been an advocate and has empowered business owners using mindset, marketing, and brand style, taking them away from the excuses and the limiting beliefs that which might be holding them back. So Lucia shares how brand and messaging of you and your brand requires congruency and cohesion for clients to receive your message as clear and precise. So what she's been doing is teaching business owners how to use Facebook real estate, build their businesses, grow a community, and attract new clients. Now, I'm really interested to find out a lot more of this, Lucia. Welcome. Thank you for being on the We Are Women podcast today.
Thank you, Janine. It's lovely to be here, and it's lovely to be on the We Are Women podcast. I'm super excited. It's probably only the second time I've ever been, third time on a podcast. So I'm really excited to share my story a little bit with you and get to know, let listeners get to know, I guess, a little bit about me and the journey that I've taken to get to where I am now. So
excellent. Yeah. So okay, I've done a couple of these, so we're all good. I think this will be about episode 145 or something like that. So it'll go. The time goes amazingly quickly once we sort of get into conversation and learning more about you. Before we came on, we were chatting about the heat wave and the storms coming through. When people listening to this, it could be May. There won't be heat wave in May, but today when we're recording it, there is, and we're just sort of talking about, you know, what the weather's like, and as you do, and the heat and how it's, you know, affecting how people respond to things and what they're doing and the actions that they are taking. And Lucia, you live on the Sunshine Coast, is that correct?
I do. I live up near the mountains, and environment has such a strong impact on how we react in, our personal life, but also in our business lives. And, that environment can be the weather, it can be what's going on emotionally, you know, it can be energy, it can be all sorts of things. So very much about running, and, you know, I run this business on a more soul-driven mission, you know. So I've got this real mission to and passion to support people and help people get their business seen on social media.
And that's the thing. A lot of people, and I was talking this at a mastermind meeting I was running the other day, and we're talking about being on the right social media for you. And I'm a huge LinkedIn fan, and, you know, if you're in business, you need to be on LinkedIn. If you're not, well, then get out of business. But that's, you know, a connection through building through business. But you're talking about Facebook in particular. And so what's a demographic for Facebook, and why should we be on there?
So I'll just bring you back. I was a LinkedIn, everyone had said to me, you need to be on LinkedIn because you're a business owner. And can I tell you, I've been off LinkedIn for 12 months, and this is my personal opinion, not, you know, just where I'm at in it. My brother, who is a LinkedIn fan, has got, you know, many followers. He uses LinkedIn. It is his platform of choice. But me, all my clients have come from Facebook. Every client I've had is either a referral through Facebook or Facebook itself. So either my personal page or my my group page, my community. And I'll talk a bit more about community a little bit later.
That's great results. So you're obviously hitting the right demographic. And that's something that's so important, isn't it, that you are on the right platform for the people that you want to meet.
So the platform itself, Facebook, has 2.9 billion. It's actually grown almost 100 million in 12 months. You know, like there's so many people coming onto the platform. And for me, finding those clients that need my support, need my help, that is where I'm targeting them. That is where, and I won't give away my age, but that's where my ideal avatar is. They are looking for people in Facebook. Facebook has become the third top, almost like a search engine, even though it isn't a search engine. It has become the third top. And I think the only other one is TikTok and YouTube. So it is, you know, when people are looking for something in their businesses, that is where they're going. So, you know, if you want something on mindset or you want something on women speaking, that's where people are going. They will, they will.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think we're both in about the same demographics. It's definitely the space where, and again, that's where your market is. I know this week in Australia, there's two major TikTok influencers that are visiting Australia, and they've, you know, got so many millions, 27 million followers or something to that effect. But all of the people that turned up to see them, 98% of them were young males around 17, 18 years of age. You know, so that works well for them because that's the market they're targeting, and that's such an important factor, isn't it? Being in the right space.
And marketing is about that, right? Marketing, as we change and evolve in our businesses, we need to be very aware of where our avatar or our ideal client is and whether or not they're shifting. But I found all of mine, like I said, on Facebook. So I use Instagram because it's a meta platform as well. And basically Facebook gives you the opportunity to communicate as a business owner to those prospective clients. So why wouldn't you use it to the best
of your ability? And that's the point, isn't it? Using it to the best of your ability, because you can waste a lot of time on any social media, but using it the most effective ways. Before we get down that rabbit hole, because there's a big discussion on that, what got you into this, Lucia? You know, what was it? What were you doing previously?
A little bit about me. So I left school when I was 15. I was 14, actually, but I asked my mum and dad if I could actually leave school, and they said yes. I said, rightio, I'll get a job. And I landed a position in a radio station, and I worked at a radio station in my hometown, which is Mount Isa. I grew up in country, northwest Queensland. And that was very much a mining town. And back then, Janine, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for women. Women either did typing or they went into clerical positions. And I chose the clerical position. So I used to create all the ads for the disc jockeys in the day. So I would create the ads that they would talk on their radio. And I was very, very good at it. And it was just that introduction to marketing and advertising that I loved. And I stayed there for a short time and moved on, because things happened. You know, I was a young woman and I wanted to get advance myself. So I did some admin work and got a bookkeeping position, which was Back in those days, it was much more honourable than working in marketing and advertising, would you believe? So anyway, because I come from an Italian background as well. So my father's Italian. The boys are the ones that earn all the money, and the girls, you know, they are in the kitchen, you know, all of the, you know, the conditioned beliefs and the old, I guess it's old conditioning that, you know, you leave school, get a job, then you find a boyfriend, get married and have children, and that's pretty much it, right?
Mm.
That was it for me. I met my husband 47 years ago, and that's going to give a bit of my...
we've got our 43rd wedding anniversary coming up, so we're in the range, yeah.
Yeah, you're getting there. And anyway, long story short, we, in the middle of having all those babies, I had a daughter that has very high support needs, and that actually threw our whole family. Now we've got a fire alarm going off, would you believe? It's stopped. Okay, cool.
I couldn't hear it on this end, though.
So, yeah, that actually threw our whole family into a real, it was disbelief. It was coping with the person, you know, we had a daughter, and understanding, you know, the whole process of extra that we had to do with that particular person. She's still with us. She's 43. And I won't go into the details, but there was a lot of, you know, anger, grief journey in that. There was a lot of me putting all of my personal energy into raising her. My husband, you know, had to provide for the family, etc. The one thing I did consciously do in all those years was I consciously became her advocate and became a very strong advocate for her, particularly when people would say she can't do that or there was a deficit. And I listened to Simon Sinek today, yesterday, and he was talking about ADHD and deficit. And how, if we only didn't talk about the deficit, but we focused on the positive outcomes that come from that. And I've been a strong advocate for my daughter for many, many years. She's got a very strong personality. And with that came me becoming that really strong personality alongside her. So, you know, questioning the doctors, questioning the professors that wanted to fix the way her fingers were because they were a bit different to what other people were. It was a personal development journey for me along the way because I had to find my voice. And as you can see, I'm in blue. I love blue. Blue is one of my favorite colors. And it's all connected to the energy of blue, which is, you know, that you speak. And I have taught her to speak. She doesn't like something, she speaks, and if it's not listened to, then she speaks louder. And I have it's her mechanism to protect herself, yeah. And I've empowered her with that. So
doing that's brilliant to have done that and created that. It's creating opportunities for her because she. Yeah. Have her own voice. But the interesting thing for me too is that growth for you, because a lot of people, when they've got, you know, special needs or their carers, they tend to lose themselves.
Yeah.
What you didn't do that. You didn't lose yourself. You gained a voice of influence during that time.
Yeah. And I think it's easy to focus on the deficit or to focus on the things that are going. And don't get me wrong, you know, I had plenty of times where I would yell and scream and, you know, why me and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had some amazing coaches in my time that have helped me to deal with you know, that process of letting go of the anger, letting go of the grief, you know, letting go of all of that, because it doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve the person that's standing beside you and needing that support either.
No, that's a very important comment, to be able to let go of those things that might be holding you back, and grief and anger are two in particular, and guilt and blame are probably the foremost important things that really hold people back. And it becomes then it becomes dis-ease in their own body, and they unfortunately a lot of people manifest that when they're holding on to those emotions.
Yeah, you're right. And look, you know, I can tell you that, you know, I'm not, I'm not healthy, but, you know, I've learnt to live with, you know, the amazing person she is, the strong person she is, and that she's taught me. You know, even when now some days I go, we haven't had respite, for instance, for 2 months, and, you know, I go, you know, I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
What is the lesson there for me to understand? And it's just patience, you know, being patient, listening to her voice, hearing what she's saying to me, and, you know, being proactive about that. So, you know, helping her understand where I'm coming from and vice versa. So,
yeah. No, it's certainly a big deal. I have a 5-year-old special needs grandson, and who's still nonverbal, and just communicating is really difficult, and it's, you know, difficult for everyone around. But it's when, you know, that old adage that we're not given anything that we can't deal with, you know, that, and what lessons are you learning from those challenges? And I suppose that's part of it, isn't it? But the beauty of what you've having through that work through those lessons is that's now what you help people when we talk about, you know, build that confidence and voice within themselves. I'm assuming that's part of what you do, as opposed to just the, you know, the Facebook.
It's a personal development journey, and a confidence journey, because once you find that voice within, you find the strength and the courage that is needed to put yourself out there, get yourself seen. I can remember, Janine, I did a Facebook Live one day, and someone said, "You have done 60 in your Facebook Live," and I went, "Oh, really? Thank you. Thanks for that."
I do know someone that can help with that, Lucia.
Counting. But, you know, I've practiced that now, and I've really overcome that. So it's confidence comes as you do things, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Do things. So letting me have that space, have that space, was his way of saying, "I've noticed it, but I'm still following you," because he's still following
me. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, that's wonderful. And that is my thing. That is one of the things that I do help people know how to pause and eliminate unnecessary filler words in their presentations. Because the odd arm or ah is not an issue. It's when it takes over from your message, it becomes the problem. But there are techniques to eliminate them. And as you said, practice. I think practice with anything you do. I ran a workshop on the weekend, and that's what we talked about, is that because it was confidence to get up on stage, and it's that practice and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And they say it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert in a field. And that is very, very hard to achieve. Apparently the Beatles achieved it while they were working in Germany, working 7 days a week and 9 hours a day or something. So they achieved it. But it's apparently very hard to get. But that's what makes you so good at something that you can't be bad at it, is that 10,000 hours.
The Beatles has got 8 days a week. Is it 8 days a week?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's probably how they felt like they were working when they were there. And I just have to note that I did leave school at 15 as well, but I went in, I was going to just take off the holidays and so I went into some retail and I was going back to become a school teacher. Most of my friends did. Interestingly, I got paid $37 a week and there was no way I was going back to school then. It was just brilliant money. It was so good. Anyone listening that's 20 years younger than us are going to go, what?
Yeah. What were you paid? I think
most people earn well over that an hour now, let alone for a whole week's work. But that's what it was. The expenses were much less then. Now, we started talking about the not wasting time with your marketing, making sure that you've got the demographic right, you know where your target market is and your avatar, but the right sort of marketing to them. How do we know that?
Okay. So we have a program called How to Get Clients Confidently Now. And in that program, it's a 3-month intensive program. In that program, I teach how to identify business pillars. So your strengths as a business owner are pretty paramount. You know, they'll come to the fore constantly, you know, the things that you do the best. So what we get our clients to do is to remember their journey. So remember where they started, how they began, what they needed to do when they began, and create a I started here, and ours is called Unseen and Unstoppable. So I take clients from Unseen to Unstoppable. Now, most of us never get to Unstoppable, right, Janine? You know, we're working towards it, absolutely. The next pillar down, though, is Empowered. So you can imagine that, you know, I'm taking people on this process. Now, you asked, how do I identify that in our avatars? There is feelings and emotions that we bring to the fore when we're in lack or scarcity, we're not talking abundantly. There, we don't value our worth, so we're feeling less confident about what we're talking around. So all of those steps, and then when it comes to social media, I've incorporated social media into that. I see many people doing PowerPoints, but there's a tiny little face up in the corner of that person. It's still being invisible, basically. You're hiding behind that PowerPoint. If you've got a graphic that you want to share with people, yes, get it seen. But PowerPoints are a tool to use to guide you when you're doing a presentation. So going back to, you know, that invisible, there are still people that are very, very, you know, and they've got so much skill and wisdom, but they're still hiding. So I can see that in that business pillars. I can see where people are at. I can tell where I need to create the engagement in my group. So I will focus on probably the area of engagement. So, you know, they're getting engagement, but it's not consistent. So I've got pillars that state that and how they feel about themselves. So they're still not, they're tiptoeing, you know, they're playing in and out in their business.
Yeah.
So that is an identifier for me of what, where that person is at in their business. So then I know I can offer them a program, or I can offer them a service like a business booster call or something, just to have a chat with them and talk and discuss where they're at with their business and what their big goals are.
And that's important to know what you want to actually get out of something, isn't it? You know, what results that you want to achieve. And so within this, do you use Facebook marketing paid marketing?
No, all organic. I've just employed another VA So we have two VAs. The virtual assistants do the graphics, do all of my marketing. So they create all the graphics. Mm-hmm. The graphic comes out of my head. So nothing is not my own, if you know what I mean. Like I'm creating the graphic and I give it to them and then they bring it to me and I approve it. So everything is coming past me before it goes into the community. And I post on my personal page. That's my thing. I do my personal page on Facebook. So I do that. And the virtual assistants then do my Insta, the Facebook group, the business page, etc. So the Messenger chat, they do all of that. So,
and do you do that for clients or do you, it's all part of showing them how to do that themselves?
Clients how to do it, yeah.
Mm. And I mean, can we both talk about branding and stepping out there? I do it through, you know, encouraging people to stand on stage and how they would put their presentation together to stand on stage. And my background, for those that listen to a lot of the podcasts, know that it's in sales. So it's very much that speaking to influence, whatever that is. And it's great having you on because that's a different part of branding, you know, that, and sometimes we've got to start even more there. And I do this as well, working with people with their values and belief systems. You know, you dig down, because if you don't start there and you just try and go, okay, I'm going to go out and do this, you stop very quickly, don't you? Because it doesn't fit, or you don't have a
strong foundation. And I remember that from old marketing terms way back. But if you don't have a strong foundation, like a vision and a purpose and a reason for why you do what you do, then you lose steam. You run out of, you know, the client avatar that you're searching for is a mixed bag, you know. So you lose direction, you lose that that why and that enthusiasm for helping to help. So definitely having a vision and purpose. We actually want to support 5,000 business owners before I get to 70. That's my long-term goal. And we want to help them get to six figures. We want to help them get to that six-figure income.
Yeah.
Doing that with these platforms that we have. So
yeah. And the thing, obviously with Facebook, if it's content out there, it's backed up on websites and everywhere else as well, because it's because you don't own Facebook and they can do whatever they like. As I've learned over the last 3 years, they can easily just block you for 28 days if they choose to or whatever. So, yeah.
The skill in marketing and understanding those brand pillars, those, you know, the brand pillar is everything that you create for Facebook, you repurpose and put out there into your we've got emails, so we put it out there onto our emails and into our website. So it's replicated because we're following a system that gives our clients a pathway to learn and grow and then take that next step, which is to implement some of the steps that we have.
Yeah.
It's giving your client a pathway via Facebook to work with you, but then closing that loop with your emails or with your website.
Yes, yeah, most definitely. And I've got a couple of Facebook groups, and I'm in, I don't know how many Facebook groups I'm in, but there's a lot. The being in groups are, you know, what people say, well, you get a lot more because you become the authority if you're in the group. Yes. And yeah. So tell me, how do you work with, is it just closed groups that you have with clients, or you have open Facebook groups as well?
We have a group, and I don't dilute my message, because when you have multiple groups, and I had this on a coaching call yesterday, a person that had multiple groups, what happens is you become very diluted. So your messaging becomes a little bit tired, and you're not as passionate about, you know, one subject or another, you know. So when you've got a clear outcome for that group, which is that everyone that comes into it is going to be educated in the process that I take them on, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, to get that engagement, that's up to me as the teacher to get that engagement in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Because as they engage, they're letting you know what's their problem, you know, their pain or their problem.
Mm.
So you can use that as your tool. But I just find, Janine, that diluting and having many groups gets really mixed. So we do all of our coaching just via Zoom. We record it, then we YouTube it. We use YouTube a lot, but we also have a website platform that we hold, you know, a lot of content.
Mm.
But YouTube, because YouTube is probably the second most used tool, bar Facebook. So, you know, if I understand my avatar, I know that they're going to go to YouTube to search. So that's why I use YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and absolutely. Then that's what I do with these recordings. They go up on the usual audio podcast recordings.
Yeah.
And they also then go on my website, and they and then shared around on the different social media platforms. But and they're also on YouTube, and it makes it getting things across where your clients are, as we said, you know, right early on. Then that makes a difference to the interaction as well.
Yeah.
So how do people get traction on Facebook then for you if they're not advertising, they're not doing paid advertising? Because I do know Facebook has, you know, changed their algorithm, and they do like people to pay them for things.
Yes, they're a business, right? They're a business. After all, they're a business. So what we do is we go into other groups. So we go into community groups, and we go into other groups, and we promote whatever event or, you know, we've got a Facebook expo. Well, we've got a virtual expo coming up in next week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in other advertising that. And they're mainly community groups. Get into the community groups. We let people know. We are part of massive amounts of groups as well. So we mm-hmm. promote in there. We find that we use just the Facebook backgrounds, or we've also done events. So we've created events. Mm-hmm. That way Facebook supports us to share those events around Facebook land, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're using third party apps, that is when Facebook doesn't like what you're doing, because you're redirecting out of Facebook. So but we basically make that contact through those community groups. Then with my virtual assistants and myself, we have that conversation around what it is that person, we did a masterclass a month ago. So we went into those groups and we just let everyone know that we were holding a marketing masterclass. We're doing those every 3 months, we do those. So that's another way of educating and sharing our message. In those masterclasses, that's when I say, I've got these programs that you might be interested in.
So they're a complimentary funnel, part of your funnel to get people in. Is that right? Masterclass?
Yeah, basically, they're a lead magnet that I use Facebook for. I don't have an external lead magnet. And use that, then offer that service. Now, I will say I did a five-day challenge, and I'm not going to do a five-day challenge again, because it's what happens is there's all this momentum. You know, you get about 20 or 30 people that register, but as the week goes, things come up in their lives, and it just, by the time we finished, I think we finished with five, mm-hmm. and then the last was three.
That's a big commitment. So, you know, 5 days is a massive commitment for people.
Right, it's too big. So we've condensed it down. We're doing it as a half day. So we're going to be doing it as a half day. Then. So because it's all virtual, and but it works. It works a treat because you're educating, but you're also then just offering, you know, to help them in their business. So most people's businesses are the same. The structure, you know, the systems might be a little bit different, but most businesses need marketing, their mindset, their marketing, and their sales. Is that, you know, sales always comes last. Sales is the last thing. And you said that you come from a sales background, so understanding that, you know, that is the last thing that you focus on.
Yeah, it's funny. People always say sales and marketing, and I go, no, it should be marketing and sales. You know, marketing brings people to the door. Sales gets them through the door. That's why I work with marketing people a lot, because when the clients don't get the results they want and aren't able to convert the leads that they've had because the marketing people have done a great job, then, you know, the marketing people get a bad rap. And that's the person hasn't known how to convert them, and it's,
that's a skill in itself. So, you know, if you're focusing on the sales, you're not building a relationship, you're not doing any of the work that needs to be done. So, you know, networking and building relationships is key to any business growth. Yeah.
Most definitely. I think I'm running networking training for a bank because their people are starting to get out into the community and building relationships and going to networking events. So I'm running some networking training with them. And for me, getting out and networking regularly is where I'm located in Southeast Queensland, Gold Coast and Brisbane. You know, I walk into an event and know three quarters of the people there, or they know me, which is even more important, because turning up, and that's part of it as well. There's all these components, isn't it? But I know a lot of other people go to networking events and their clients aren't at those events. So they're spending a lot of time and energy doing it. It's good practice for your pitch, but it's not the right place for them to be spending that time and energy, because that's not where their client base is.
Exactly. And I've identified that, you know, when you go back to my story, I was diagnosed with a chronic illness when I was 48. And for me to be doing these face-to-face events is no longer an option. I can't do them anymore. I have to. And I'm still so passionate about helping people. So why not still do it? And the virtual arena has given me that opportunity. You know, I'm not the type of person to get my slippers and go and find a chair and, you know, forget about everything in life. So I've just found that I've had to make that conscious decision that I want face-to-face events. I might go and support someone at a networking event, but I won't be doing them because physically I can no longer do them.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of online networking events, Lucia. I could probably turn up to about 8 a week online if I chose. We must have a conversation about that if that's of interest, because there's so many that are out there.
And I find there's so many to choose from. And I guess that's what a lot of people, when they're in the middle of their journey, there's so many opportunities coming at them. What do they do with all those opportunities? Do they just keep focused, or do they try this, try that, try something else? So that is another reason why a coach makes such a difference in your life.
And that's the most important thing when you are, particularly when you're starting out in business. A lot of people look at a cost of a coach rather than the investment. Having a coach, I know I've over my career I've probably spend about $300,000 at least on training and coaches, and but I've certainly made that back in the return of the my business and the growth of the business and where it is now and the skill base that I have and that I'm able to share with my clients. So it's worthwhile. And just what you'll find is when you're starting out, you get a coach that can help you with one particular area, and don't go and spend tens of thousands of dollars on a coach.
Yeah.
When you're starting out, get the people who can help you in that one area and then move on when that's successful. Yeah.
I agree with you there, Janine. It's you know, don't get a coach that's trying to do everything. And I guess that's why, you know, there's personal development coaches, there's people that do mindset, there's people that teach spirituality, accounting, blah, blah, blah. And you can get caught up a little bit with that when you're first starting. And if you're listening to first starting, just pick one thing that you really want to get good at, and then get that coach that resonates with you.
Most definitely.
I believe that you're investing in your future self when you invest in a coach. Every coach that I've had over my time has been an investment in my personal growth or my business growth. I've never not come away from a coach where I haven't grown. Haven't grown in some way. So, you know, see it as an investment.
And that's it, looking at to say, well, what do I want to be able to do in 10 years? What does that future look like for me? And then what skills do I need and what do I need to achieve to be able to have that lifestyle? And that's something that I love about the way I have my business at the moment. It's a lifestyle business and it fits in around family and all of my little activities that I get involved with and have lots of fun doing. Yes, very, very much so. So we've talked about, you know, organic marketing and the pillars of business strategy. How do people monetize on Facebook? Is it just selling something or is there a plan that you have that you can help people with?
Yes, we have a system. We have a formula. And in that system, we teach you, or that formula, we teach you how to put together a package or an offer, program, etc. Pretty much what I'm doing, I teach people how to do. So I give them three choices, and people consciously make a decision. You know, if you give them three options, they'll generally pick the middle option, nine times out of 10, right? So, and that's from a previous coach. She taught me that one. So that was a little gem. So giving people not too many options, but just the right amount of options. And then having your clients start that way brings them to the realization that, you know, they do have skills. So they're learning the way to execute the offer that they have. So that's basically what I'm teaching is each one teach one. So, you know, teaching them how to put together their offer.
Yeah. And that, I mean, a lot of people not even sure how to price their product or service. I'm part of a Queensland business mentoring group and working with a lot of people who come on there. They've got, you know, products mostly rather than services, but just figuring out how to take it to market and price it is such an important factor. And I think that was, you know, pricing, because mine's service-based, but pricing around and figuring out, oh, if people pay that easily, well, then it's the next price, it's a bit dearer, then trial that price until you hit a price where people go, no, thank you. And then you know that, you know, where you sit within the market, or offer more value, or get more well known, or stand on stage and speak to groups, and then you can offer things out even more, even at a higher rate then. Your volume's off, Lucia. I think you turned it off.
I just did it. Someone's just asked for a Kit Kat and I just said, you can have it. My daughter always seems to have a cameo performance. Every time I do an interview, she's knows when I'm on television. She calls me, she tells me I'm on television. So yeah, I've lost my train of thought now. That's what happens. Yeah. So
it just is that figuring out the price point is a interesting thing. Mm.
When you're first beginning, I think don't price it too expensive. Like, don't overprice yourself. Mm. You know, do some research, see what others are charging. You know, see where the market is, mm. and see if that fit into that market. So, you know, where is your avatar? Who is your avatar? What is your avatar going to spend on a you know, an offer that you've got? Do all your research. You have to do your research. Mm. And I can tell you a story about me that last year. I sold two of my programs last year. I was a bit sick last year. I had two ill bouts of being in hospital, and I had a shitty mindset last year, I just have to say. You know, mindset-wise was a real chore and challenge last year for me. And so anyway, two of these programs, and what I'd done is I'd done some research and I'd put the price because I had a coach that said, up your price, put your price up a bit. So I did. I only went up by $500, but I got stuck on it. It was me. It was me that was, you know, the block.
Mm.
This year, I came back in February from holidays. I'd been on holidays for a month. Came back, and in 5 days, no word of a lie, I've had five new clients.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting, the mindset in business, what it does to your mindset and the money blocks that come up. And I'm doing some really serious work on money blocks at the moment, you know, the archetype and, mm-hmm. You know, just that, because that is me from my background as a migrant's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of money blocks that are from my lineage. I'll just say that. Very frugal. They're still frugal to this day. Dad's 92. Still so frugal and says to me, you know, if you want me to do something about it for you, I'll do it for you. Like he's that nurturer, he's that person. Yeah. I'm like, no. Right. So understanding my archetype has been a blessing,
mm-hmm.
and really understanding the blocks that I've put in place. And last year was one of those years. It was just incredible. $500, that's all it was.
Yeah,
that was the difference.
No, that it is. It really does, and it's all to do with your belief in your value. You know, someone's not going to pay that for me. And it's a very similar story for one of my clients. I was running some sales training, and she does grief counseling, and she usually can fix a person, which I don't want to use that terminology, but for the constraints of time, I will say that, within two sessions. They're over their grief. It's phenomenal at what she does. And she told me what she was charging, and I went, that's ridiculous, double it. She said, I can't do that. And I said, well, you can double it. What you're offering people is freedom, and they're not going to get it. They're going to come to you, but they're not going to value you as much. Double it. Anyway, she doubled it, and she had all these clients coming in sort of within the next couple of weeks, so happy to pay the next lot of money. So that's what she's judging. It was ridiculous. Yeah. What I said to her, because she does a two-hour session, and I said, double the price, but offer the first hour for free and the second hour is that double price. So you're going to feel good that you're doing something for free, but they're paying twice the amount of what you're paying before. And once she did it, she said it's just all cleared. And it was quite amazing. So yes, one of the things that I don't know whether you've done any EFT work or kinesiology, that helps clear those money blocks really well, both of those. Yeah.
I've been doing a bit of tapping, and this is almost like genetic. It's way yeah. back in my gene pool, right? And a lot of it is about being a woman and a female. And a lot of it is we come from a family of peasants. So you can imagine the stuff that I have carried with me. And it is being aware of it. And can I just say, like, 5 clients in 5 days, I was just like,
good. That's clear. Thanks.
Well, move on, Lucia.
Yes, yeah.
Move on.
That's awesome, Lucia. When we wrap up, we usually talk about 3 takeaway points. So if you want people just to really take away 3 things, what would they be?
Okay. I think the first one is find your courage. So mm-hmm. find your courage. Courage is the thing that's going to help you get to that next step that you need to take.
Yep.
I had one other thing and I can't remember it exactly. So find your courage. Then I know what it was. Self-love.
And that's such
love yourself. Love yourself. Love how you can help people. Love everything about you as that person. You know, you're perfect, imperfect. You know, all of those things that you do. You know, you judge, you compare, you do all of that. Acknowledge that. But do it in a way that's loving. So self-love.
Yeah.
And then the other one is action. Like I'm a maverick. I don't know if you do know the money archetypes, but I'm an action. Mm. I'm a maverick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I'll put my hand up, I'll do something and find out, you know, how to do it. So I think action is my motto that I've always found from when I was a 15-year-old. Mm. You know, I still in that 15-year-old woman, she just said, yes, I'm going to leave school, I'll find a job, and manifested it somehow and got the job. So same with everything that you do in life, bring that passion, purpose, but always love yourself and who you are, always.
Yeah, yes, and the most important person to love is yourself, because when you do, you can help others. In whatever space. Lucia, how can people get in touch with you?
Okay, so I have a Facebook page.
Oh, really? Who would have thought that?
So you can find me on Lucia Peters on Facebook. You can also find me in our group, our Facebook group, which is Empowering Successful Entrepreneurs. That is our Facebook group. And my business page is Global Business Academy. So
empowering success, what did you say?
Empowering success for entrepreneurs. Okay. I believe every one of us is an entrepreneur in this world. We're put on this world to be entrepreneurs, you know, to do something for ourselves and to support others with our wisdom.
Most definitely. I have to say, you know, when you said unseen to unstoppable, my second book is it's called Being Unstoppable. I had it published a couple of years ago. Yes, but that's what it's about, is being unstoppable. Yeah, it's definitely. Thank you so much for your input. Thank you for our conversation. It's been really lovely just to learn a little bit more about you and to share that with our listeners, and then talking about how, you know, people can get seen, but it's not just here's the tips to do this on Facebook and do this and do this. It's all about creating that confidence and that ability and to be able to want to do that and stand out.
Yeah, and have that courage to step into themselves, you know, to step into their true purpose, because your purpose is the guiding light for many of us, you know. Yeah. Helping people find that purpose is what I love to do.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, we're very much on the same track there. That's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I love it when you give me some feedback. Let me know what you've enjoyed about each of the different interviews. You'll find us again on your favorite podcast station. You can watch us on YouTube, on Janine Vosper. Go searching. There's about 140 something episodes there with amazing people. When you're on my website, janinevosper.com, make sure you book a strategy call. We can have a conversation. If I can't assist you directly, I have got so many contacts that I can direct you to. So I look forward to you joining me, my next guest, on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.